It's to you, Lord, that we look to for freedom. It's you, Lord, that we look to for light when all around us seems dark. It's you that scatters the darkness. It's you that drives away the fears, the worries, the things that trouble us, the sins that so easily entangle us. It's in you that we find freedom. And I thank you, O God, for the worship set this morning. And I thank you that just reminding ourselves through music and song of how powerful you are and how wonderful you are. And it's you, Lord Jesus, that went to that cross around 2,000 years ago. And you suffered and you died to explain, to show, to give an example of the love of God for all of us. That he would sacrificially give his own son's life, the Lord Jesus' life, that we might live when we believe. And that we might be set free. And that, as we said at the beginning of the service, that you would take us from darkness, from the domain of darkness, and into your marvelous light. And it's in that light that we find freedom, that we walk freely in newness of life. And so I thank you for all of those things, Jesus. And we give you praise. And now, God, I ask, oh God, that you would guide us into the Scriptures. Thank you that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It is light and life. It exposes darkness and allows us to come into the light and thereby find our freedom. So we praise you for those things today, O God. And we just ask that you guide us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. And those of you who are following along, we've been working our way through the book of Ephesians. So I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and open them up to the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to continue on in chapter 5. Children, you can be dismissed. Yes. There they go, looking good. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, last week we learned from Ephesians, the first part of chapter 5, that we are to walk in love as dearly loved children, mimicking our Father. So we can be pretty good at that. We can be good mimickers, and we can follow along, and we can know His love, that His love for us is perfect, it's full, it's unfailing, it's forever, it's everlasting. It's His love for us. And we are to walk in that love. So we're to move forward in life, getting rid of the things in our lives that are displeasing to Him because of love, because of intimacy with the Father. But now Paul changes his metaphor. So he started out by talking that we should live and walk in love. Now he changes it. Now we are to live and walk in light. So we move from light, from love rather, to light. And we are to walk this way because, as he prayed earlier on in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, that our hearts have been enlightened so that we can know our hope and we can know what God has put within the saints, the richness of his presence within the saints, and also we can know the power that has set us free. That is enlightenment. That's light that comes, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the Scriptures remind us in 1 John that God is not only love, He is love, He is the personification of love, but God is also light. So God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that God is light. In Him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we are lying. Isn't that something? We're not telling the truth. So we are lying not only to ourselves, but to those around us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. And so you have this sense in which when we walk in light, we do that together. We do it in fellowship. And it's a little bit like sometimes at Christmas services, you'll have the lighting of the candles, you know, the ceremony where everybody gets to have a candle. And as each one lights, the room grows lighter and lighter. There's more light that comes in. From one candle, there's a lot of light, but from many candles, much light. And so that's the idea behind God's fellowship, that when we walk together in light as He is in the light, because He lives in fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfect fellowship. So He is in the light And as we fellowship, we come to the light together, and his blood, which we are going to celebrate the shedding of his blood and his death and resurrection later on in the service. So God is love and God is light. And remember, this is what he told us, that God also wants to enlighten our hearts. He wants us to have light within us so that we can know hope, we can know our calling, and we can know his power. That's what light does. It shows us what he has given to us. Being made to see is something that Jesus did regularly. If you just read the Gospels, you find very often, very regularly, Jesus would demonstrate the gift of healing of the blind. That was a common healing. And it's because it was meant to be a symbol, not just for the person being healed, obviously, they could see, but it was meant to also be a symbol of what was coming in his kingdom of light, so that we could all see clearly who it is we are to worship. So in this case, if we think of light this way, light is synonymous with truth. Light and truth are together because the truth enlightens. It brings revelation. And so we want that. We crave truth as babies in Christ, as newborns in Christ. We should crave truth like milk, like a baby wants milk. And as we grow older, we should crave truth like a good old-fashioned steak and potato dinner. All right? As good food, as healthy food, we should crave truth this way. Because the more we grow up, the more we mature, the more we need good food. And that good food is truth. And so you find in the scriptures that truth and light, are often put together. Listen to Psalm 43. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide us. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and the peace and the place where you dwell. In Psalm 19, verse 8, it says, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The truth of God, the commands of God are radiant. So the truth comes with light. And as we embrace truth and light, this is how we are to walk. Now, we're just going to expose this. Let's read together the passage that we'll be studying this morning. From Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Again, truth and light. Deception versus knowing what is right, knowing what comes out of the light, truth. Let no one deceive you by empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Very bright scriptures, full of light, full of comments that have to do with light versus darkness. And I really think it's helpful for us. Even a child can get the understanding of darkness and light. How many children are afraid of the light? Not too many that I know of, but how many children are afraid of the dark? Hey, lots are. How many of you had to pray with your kids at night when you tucked them into bed? I'm afraid of the dark. There's a monster in the closet. There's a monster under the bed. And you're just like, no, 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 no. There's nothing like that. And we'll put a little wall light in the plug just so you have some light. Some people can't fall asleep unless there's just a little light somewhere. That's because darkness is not a good thing. Even synonymously or symbolically in the scriptures, darkness is something we want to avoid. Now, let's look at verses 6 and 7 first of all. Remember what's happened, what's just come down the passage, right? We've been told that we are to walk in love because we are dearly loved children, imitating God. And they were given a list of sins that show great disrespect. Sexual immorality shows great disrespect for sexuality, not only sexuality, but also for other people. Sexual immorality just shows disrespect for those around us. All the things that are listed there, and we'll get to those in just a minute. He says, listen, don't deceive yourselves with, don't let anyone deceive you thinking that somehow it's okay to be sexually immoral. It's all right, you'll get through this. No, it's not okay, and you will get through this. We must be clear-minded when it comes to the truth. When Paul was with the church in Ephesians, when he first started the church at Ephesus, and he built it up, he was there for 3 years. Then he was leaving by ship, and he invited the elders to come down to the beach. And he had this little beach time. And they had this little time together. It says they even wept on each other. They held each other and they wept because they were so sad to see Paul leaving. And he was a great man who had helped them so much in their lives. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 30. Paul admonishes these elders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And now that after I leave, for I know rather that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. Even your own, from your own numbers, men will arise to distort the truth and draw away disciples after them. I like that because it gives us a warning. And it should give us all a warning. Be careful what you listen to, especially today with so much YouTube. Hey? So much social media. Watch out. Be very careful, because you'll notice that even from among the elders of that church, deception can sneak its way in. Be very careful then. And I like how it says, they don't come across as telling you bold-faced lies. Now, sometimes they do. But what they do is they distort the truth. They take the truth and they just give it a little twist. And what was happening in the church at Ephesus at this time, according to some of the commentaries that I read and in my study for this, is that there were teachers who were rising up from within the church, leading people astray. They were laughing, they were winking at immoral things. Things that Paul had just clearly told them to imitate God, and by doing that means you get rid of these evil things. And so he says, be careful, watch out. You see, walking in love is very important. According to Paul and according to the Holy Spirit, we walk in love as dearly loved children, but this cannot happen devoid of truth. Truth and love must go together. Love must be accompanied by discernment. We need to know what is good and right. We need to know what the truth is. And so God has called us not just to live lovingly, but also discerningly, so that our love means something. Otherwise, it just means nothing. But we must live as obedient children following the truth. Discernment is so crucial when we live as lovers of people, lovers of others, lovers of God. We need to understand, according to this passage, that God literally hates immorality. He hates impurity, obscenity, foolish talk, dirty jokes. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to go deeper into this. But he hates idolatry. He hates it when we try to put ourselves above him. That's what he hates. And he will judge that in our lives. And he will discipline his children. Do not be persuaded by bad teachers and bad teaching. Instead, verse 7, it says, don't be partners with them. Don't follow them. Don't give to them. Don't listen to them. Stay away from them. Once you discern that what's being taught isn't fully truthful, then stay away, because you'll be drawn in otherwise. We can be very gullible at times and vulnerable that way. You see, it is a battle that's going on between light and dark. we are very clearly told that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We do not preach ourselves, and that's a key thing, because if it's attractive to yourself, watch out. That's a really good flag that should pop up if it makes myself feel better or think highly of myself. Be careful of it. There is a healthy sense in which God's knowing God's love for us is good for us, and it makes us have healthy self-love. But even then, we have to put boundaries around that and understand that we are very corrupt and we can be very easy on ourselves. So we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord and are servants of Christ for His sake. For God has already said, let light shine out of darkness. And He has made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So He's put light within us. The light of Christ changes our character from darkness to light. And we must move in this direction. Notice what He says in verse 8. You were once darkness. Not in darkness. You were darkness. And now look what happens when we come to know Jesus. But now you are light. Not in the light. You actually are light. And Jesus spoke about this. You are the light of the world, right? That's what He said. You are the light. When you come to believe, you are the light. And so let your light shine. That song that we sang in Sunday school. This little light of mine, hey, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. This is all kids' stuff, but it's so good because they're learning already. Not only does Jesus love me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, but I also am light that needs to shine in the darkness because of what God has put in. Darkness always symbolizes, in these kinds of statements, always symbolizes evil, all error from truth, all ignorance of the truth and of what God desires. That's what darkness is. And light symbolizes all that is open, transparent, with nothing to hide or fear. That's what light does. Remember in the Garden of Eden, when God came in just after Adam and Eve had sinned, He asked them a question. Do you remember what it was? Where are you? Was it because He didn't know where they were? No. He knew where they were. The light in the statement was meant to show them where they were in connection to who He is and where He was. They were away from where they should have been. And that's what light does. Light exposes. Light brings no fear. It brings nothing to hide. Like I said earlier, children are naturally afraid of the dark, and so they should be. They need to learn that there is light. And so when they come and they start to grow up and we show them that light is stronger, it's good. It's how children are, and they should be reminding us of the simple truth that darkness is bad and light is good. Right? It's so simple, and yet sometimes we get so complicated about things. Darkness is bad, light is good. Jesus even said at one time in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So light is also life. Again, He said in chapter 18 of John, I have spoken all openly to the world, Jesus replied. I have always taught in the synagogues or the temple where all the Jews came together. I have said nothing in secret. Secrets are lies. I used to hear that when I was a kid growing up. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Living in secret is not healthy living. Did you hear that? Because secrets grow in darkness. It's one of the only things that seems to grow in darkness. Secrets. And so we need to understand that Jesus was saying, listen, I have lived openly and honestly with you all. And this is how we are to live out the light. We are light. And part of any healing journey in Christ, and I think you would say this from the Celebrate Recovery group as well, but also in some of the ministry that we've done as elders and as teachers and as pastors, you know that people who hold back secrets will not find healing. You know that. It's a principle. You can count on it in your counseling sessions. If you're working one-on-one with someone who's a friend and they're not telling you the whole truth and you've been praying for eons for their healing, you need to start asking different questions. What are you hiding? What are you hiding? Because if you continue to hide, you will continue to walk in darkness and you will not know the healing of Christ in that area of your life. That's why it's so important to come into the light. If you go to an AA meeting, what's the first thing they do? They admit their darkness. Hi, I'm Kevin, I'm an alcoholic. And all of a sudden it's brought into the light. No more hiding. You cannot pull the wool over those guys. I remember having many conversations with guys who used to come to our church, get saved, understand who their higher power was and all that good stuff. And they would say, you know what I find when I go to church? It's very different from when I am involved in AA because it seems like everybody has a plastic face on. I heard that regularly, not maybe those words specifically, but that was the idea, that we do hide how we really are. And true fellowship, as I read at the beginning, is to walk in light. Walk in light. James says it this way. This is really important. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Did you hear that? If we do not walk confessionally, and I don't mean just between me and God, because that's important, that's vital, that's your link to Him, but I also mean confessionally, fellowship-wise. If we do not walk in confession, then we will walk in darkness, even in the church. Confession must be a part of the healing journey of the believer. So confess your sins one to another. I think when the Protestant church separated from the Catholic church, they threw the baby out with the bathwater here. The confessional was essential. It was very important for healing. And so we must understand that when we confess, we bring things into the light. And when we bring things into the light, we can see what it is. Until then, we can't. And so finding healing in your Christian journey is so important. Confession and letting people into your life. I remember our neighbor one day who used to come to our church. I was heading off to a leadership program that I'd been involved with for a couple years. It was called Arrow Leadership. Very good program. Part of that was that you get a mentor, and each one was assigned one. Now, I had an older man, probably in his 80s, and I thought, that's too bad. I was kind of hoping for a younger guy. But when I sat down with this man, he instantly loved me. I knew I was loved. I knew I could say anything to him and he would not judge me just by how he greeted me, how he welcomed me, how he showed me his life. He exposed his life to me first and who he was and what he was good at, what he was bad with, what he was struggling with. He opened up. And so I began to open up my life too. And actually, the first few times I was a little nervous, a little scared. But as I did that, I found greater and greater levels of confidence and greater levels of healing in the areas that I had kept secret. And so I was telling my neighbor this as I was going. I was excited to go and see my mentor and kind of open up my life to him so he could see in there, so he could look in. And she just stepped back from me. She said, "How can you do that? Wouldn't you be totally afraid? I know I would be so afraid to tell what's really going on the inside." And I just looked at her and said, "It is so freeing. It is so freeing." I still to this day keep accountability, not with that man, he's passed on, but with others. I keep accountability right to this day with people in this church for different areas of my life that need to be exposed to the light on a regular basis. You need the same. Do not kid yourself. You need fellowship That's one of the reasons why I'm so upset with some of this restriction on fellowship. But thank God we are allowed to meet in our small groups. We're allowed to meet in our support ministries. Our Bible studies can continue to go. We can do those things because really that's where it happens anyway. I mean, in public here, it happens a little bit, but in those small groups where we meet and we open our lives to each other, that's where ministry takes place. And I'm so thrilled when it does. And that is in no way to tarnish the beauty of hearing the preaching of God's word and to sing the scriptures together. There is no diminishing that. And this is where we are being pinched, so as it were, in our walk of faith. This is a very important part of ministry, walking together in fellowship in the light. That's where healing comes from. Amen? Amen. I'm going to address that at the end of my message before we go into communion again. I want to come back to that because I want to speak especially to those who are online. Verse 9, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. There's fruit that comes from light. And if you are struggling with issues, if you're struggling with bad habits, if you have sins that so easily entangle you, and you bring them into the light with another believer who cares about you, loves about you, will come alongside you, be your champion, be your cheerleader, right? If you do that, what you'll find is that it will bear fruit. It will instantaneously bear fruit. It's not like a normal fruit that takes a season. It does take a season, but it happens so quickly. You start to feel free. You start to feel lighter in your soul. You start to want to. It almost as though it encourages you to begin to praise because you feel so light inside. And this is the shape of the believer who comes in. It is a good thing to do these things. It's good. And the fruit of goodness is like a benevolence. The word there means it's love in action. That's what that means. Goodness is love in action. And in a group like this, and in a church like this, and in our churches in this town, any good church, any good healthy church, it involves goodness towards each other. It is an act of love to sit down together and to confess and to pray for one another. That's why I like these little groups of 3 and 30. Three things done in 30 minutes. What is it? Remember? Share life together, yes. Read the scriptures together, absolutely. And pray for one another. Three things you can do in 30 minutes. And light will come. Goodness will come. And righteousness, what is right, means basically rightness of character before God and rightness of action before others. So they're very intertwined with goodness. Goodness and righteousness, they spring out of truth. This is the fruit of light. Do you want goodness? Do you want righteousness? Do you want to live by truth? Or would you rather not and stay in your misery? Really, that's what it's about. Stay in your misery. No thanks. In verse 10, he says, try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So it's a process. As you're learning the truth, as you're growing in the truth, you'll want to learn what pleases God. Because the more you do that, this is the process of holiness or sanctification. The more you do that, the more you learn what pleases God, what pleases the Lord, and walk in it, the more the truth, as exposed in your life, will set you free. That's according to Jesus. Living a light of life will mean that you will live a life of openness, transparency, joyfully living in the presence of Christ with other believers with nothing to fear and nothing to hide. Oh, doesn't that just sound sweet? Well, that's the way God has intended it to work. As we walk in the light. He says in verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Remember, he's drawing a comparison, right? He's saying, here's the fruit that comes from living in the light. These are the fruits of light, goodness, righteousness, truth. These are all good things. And he says, if you're involved in darkness, they are unfruitful. What does that mean? It means they have no lasting value. It means things like immorality look good up front. They make great promises, great boasts of good things, but at the end of the day, they rob you. It's like inviting a friend into your home only to find out they're actually a thief stealing from you. And you thought all along they were your friend. That is the fruitless deeds of darkness. They are unbeneficial. They are unproductive, even barren. They look so shiny up front, but when you get into them, you find out very quickly they're empty. They're empty. They're rain clouds without rain. And they leave the ground super dry. Instead, he says, expose them. Now, how do you suppose we are supposed to expose the fruitless deeds of darkness? How are we supposed to do that? Well, it's pretty obvious here. With the fruit of light. Love in action. Goodness. Doing the right thing for the right reasons before the rightness of God in our hearts and before others. Righteousness. And in truth, speaking the truth to each other in love. Sometimes you need to hear a hard word. Sometimes you need to. I know I certainly have. There are many who have spoken a hard word to me, and it helped me. I didn't like it at first, but it helped me. Because I was a pursuer and a lover of wisdom, and it says in the scripture that a wise man receives a rebuke, but a fool hates it. And I thought, well, I want to be wise. So I received the rebuke. And I would take it to the Lord. I got good at this, actually, because I had so many people wanting to speak into my life. I got good at it. I read a passage of scripture about a king in the Old Testament who took the accusations of his enemy and laid them out before the Lord. Right? In the story of Nehemiah and Ezra, they laid out these accusations before the Lord. And I would just lay them up before the Lord, and I'd say, okay, Holy Spirit, there's a lot here. This person said this, this, and this. Is there anything here that is from you? And inevitably, I'd say, oh, you know, that number two, that one's the one that I should be paying attention to. The other ones I just chucked away. But the one that was there, that was number two, I began to say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me work on this. Help me work on this. This was bringing things into the light before the Lord and trusting the Holy Spirit to help me. But I also needed a good word from a good brother. This is how the darkness deeds are exposed, by living out your life of light. It's actually astonishing to me, you know? If you're in the lunchroom and somebody tells a dirty joke and you're the only one not laughing, you're the only one saying, that wasn't funny, that was crude. Oh, that's a testimony. That's light exposing darkness. It seems very quickly, especially in my experience anyway, that within a couple of those times happening, someone will stop telling those jokes in front of you. And if they let one slip, often they'll, I'm sorry, Pastor. Why? I didn't ask them for an apology. I never chastised them. It was the light of life that was glowing out of me in darkness. Now, you still have to say something. You still need to confess with your mouth. Yes, that's very true. But there's some beautiful things here that Paul is building up towards that I want us to grasp. But number one, he said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, obviously, spoken from a man who let all of his good deeds be exposed and ended up on a cross. All right? So counterbalance that with the truth of what happened when he did that, but how many people have been blessed by his light and even the light of his death and his resurrection. We are to let our lights shine. Verse 12, it's even shameful to mention what disobedient do in secret. Now, I got to tell you, I believe this with all my heart, that when we are talking about darkness, we need to detail it, if you know what I mean. I have sat with some groups, even in my youth group, where people were sharing their testimony and they got into the juicy bits, and you know, I got lost in the juicy bits because my mind went there. And it was almost like they were trying to tell a testimony of God's goodness, but their testimony was actually glorifying the deeds of darkness. And so I found my heart going that way because there was way too much detail. It is shameful even to mention what people do in the dark, in the secret. And that's why living light is so important. We don't even have to say anything just because we don't participate or we oppose. Like, for example, I remember once in the lunchroom, they were going on and on about our boss. And he came to our church, so I didn't know how quite to do this. But all I did was just say, well, I actually kind of like him. As soon as I said that, you could have heard a pin drop in that room. That's all I said. I actually like him. That's it. And it was like light went into the room and darkness fled for that split second. And of course, it was like, oh, come on, you're not, you don't mean what you're saying. Actually, I did, but I never fought back. I just let it go. You see, light is so powerful, it stops darkness in its tracks. It actually pushes back. Actually, darkness has to move back. This is why it's so important for us to live, especially in these days right now, with all of the darkness and dreariness and fear and anxiety. You know, we need to set the example of confidence in the Lord, that no matter what our administrators and premiers and prime ministers do or say, no matter what they say, we know we are in God's hands. We're not in the prime minister's hands. We're not in the premier's hands. We don't have to understand, or we don't have to figure out all the stuff that they're trying to promote or do or whatever. What we need to know is that we are in God's hands. We are in His hands. We are in His hands. And so we can trust that He knows what He's doing, even though we can't see it, even though we don't like it. We can write letters. I've written letters to our MP, our MLA. I've written letters. I've talked to the mayor. They need to know how I think, absolutely. But at the same time, I don't do it with anger or complaining or bitterness or you're not following the science or whatever that might be. All I do is I come and say, I pray for you. I want the best for you. I thank you for being a public servant. I praise God for you. Please count on my prayers for His wisdom for you. And then I say, according to the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, you're not doing the right thing. Da, 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 da. And I close with, but I'm in your court. I'll be honest with you. I just found out this morning. I got 2 phone calls on Friday. I wasn't here to pick them up. Nobody was here, actually, on Friday. They were messages left. You know who I got a call from? Our MLA, and our mayor on Friday afternoon. Isn't that great? Now, I can't wait to follow up. You know, it's exciting to me. They want to hear what I have to say. But I want to be careful that I don't use darkness to persuade them. Rather, light. Hey? It's like a moth. They are impossibly drawn to the light. Hallelujah. He says carefully and shrewdly at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, we can say our piece. We can say it to, we live in a culture that, in a government that allows us to say our piece still. Not maybe the best way, and they might be pinching that a little, but we can still say our piece. And we can be people of peace because goodness and peace are friends, and they are part of light. Not part of darkness. This is so important, especially in our day, that we make sure that we keep our testimony bright, that our walk is light and in light. You get the 2 parallels there? We walk lightly. We were over at Kinka Lake with my kids. And Devin wanted to use his drone, and the drifts had blown up onto the beach, not at Kinky Lake. What's the other one? Wild Horse. At Wild Horse. So the snow was rock hard, And my daughter, she could tiptoe across the top. Not me. I kept falling through all the time. It was just that way. But you know, that's the beauty of it. She could walk like a fairy across the top of it. Not me. But this is a light walk. I have a heavy walk. For good reasons, I suppose. But this is what it's about, to walk lightly and in the light. People are attracted to light. They're attracted to lightness, and they're attracted to the light. Verse 13 is very interesting. I think it doesn't get as much airtime as it should. So I just want to leave this with us before we go to communion. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it's said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Light is powerful stuff. The light of Christ shining on us awakens us from the dead. Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table here at any moment. Oh yeah, we don't have a lot of stuff up here. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table at any moment. He went. He died. He took all darkness upon himself. And then he said, if you believe in me, I'll pluck you out of there and I'll put you into the kingdom of marvelous light. And you can live from there. When we believe, that's what happens. This virus, I've heard many healthcare people say the best way to get rid of any virus is to expose it to light. There you are. There's the principle right there. Light is a disinfectant. If you need to scrub up your soul, expose it to the light of God's word. And the light of another believer who loves you. And work on it together. Be champions for each other. It's time to wake up, like it says there. Some people believe that this was a song, an early church song, because it's not a quote from Scripture. Notice how he wrote it. This is why it said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Apparently, in my research, this was a song that was sung at baptisms. It's not a passage of Scripture per se. It's probably about six different passages all kind of clumped together, like you do when you write a song. Same thing, right? You don't just borrow from one passage. Well, you can, but you usually kind of put a whole bunch of thoughts together and you come up with a song. Well, it's the same way here. This is what they would sing. Wake up! Oh, what? Oh, sleeper, right? Arise from the dead. Arise from darkness. Arise from living in darkness, living in a tomb, and wake up and let Christ's light shine on you. And it's almost like at that point we become like the moon. Hey, we don't own a lot of light, but we are light because the Son of God reflects off of us and we fill up the sky. Isn't it beautiful? I love it. Followers of Jesus, be clear about this. There is pressure in the church. I don't think it needs to be over or heavy-handedly brought down. But there is pressure inside the church because there is pressure inside the saints to live lives of light and to move away from lives of darkness. There's a bit of pressure there, and it's actually healthy pressure because we need to follow the Holy Spirit's teachings and we need to hold each other accountable. It's a very important part of walking together in the light and the blood of Jesus, therefore, cleansing us from all our sin. Isn't that great? Sometimes junk needs to be dealt with. That's what I think is so important. Now, I want to make a statement here to those of us who haven't been to church for months. In some cases, some of our own fellowship has not been to a service or been to a small group or a Bible study in months. This is not healthy. This is a recipe for letting darkness sneak in. Letting darkness sneak in. Be very careful, he told the Ephesian elders. Be very careful. Be watchful over your souls. If you haven't had fellowship, of any kind, 3 and 30, even over the phone. Be creative. Use emails, use Zoom, use FaceTime, use Skype, use support groups. We're allowed to have support groups. Use whatever you can to get into fellowship. Because this is where light is, in the fellowship of believers. And so I encourage those of you, if you haven't signed up for services in the past, sign up. If you haven't been involved in a small group, get involved. Because this could go on for a long time. Pray it doesn't. Pray it's over in 2 weeks, like I am. But if it doesn't, get yourself prepared. And don't just keep hoping and make no plans. Make plans for fellowship, to live in the light as He is in the light. It is not healthy for you to be alone for so long. So make those plans. And I hope I'm not coming across as an angry father, but rather a concerned pastor for your souls, for your emotional, your physical well-being. You need fellowship. Even if it's just a few minutes on Sunday morning to be in a group like this, because that's really all it is, hey? This is like a few minutes. This is like a dip of the toe into the pond. You need closer-knit fellowship. You need people you can speak to and people to speak into your life. Find them, pray for them, and then use every tool available to have some fellowship. Amen? Come on. Amen. Do not allow COVID restrictions to rule your life. Jesus is to be the ruler of your life. Follow the restrictions, sure, but get around them. Be shrewd, be smart. Do everything you can to walk in light and to bear the fruit of living in the light and avoid the fruitlessness of darkness. Well, this brings us to communion, where we celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, and 3 days later, His resurrection life. Light and life came out of that tomb, but light and life also went into that tomb. And you have to understand that when we walk like Jesus walked, in the truth, in the light of life, then we walk in newness of life and freedom. Like the song says, arise, sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. As we approach the communion table this morning, I wonder, Stacy, would you mind coming and playing a little bit for us? Thank you. As we approach this communion time, I think it's important for us to realize this is communion, coming from community. It's about fellowship. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus as we remember what He did for us, but fellowship with each other as we raise our glasses and raise a little piece of bread and remind ourselves that we are one in Christ in the fellowship of light. In the fellowship of light. Sounds like a little bit like the Lord of Rings, but we won't go there. Communion. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to read along, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. I love that. Those two things together. The night He was betrayed, He broke bread and gave thanks. Isn't that beautiful? He gave thanks. Not that He was betrayed, but that He gave thanks. He broke it and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup after supper and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." In other words, I'm about to go and shed my blood, and my blood will cleanse you from all your sin, and you'll be able to walk in the light. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, followed by until He comes. What does that imply? Resurrection. Resurrection. and that he's coming back. Absolutely. Is he surprised by this virus? Absolutely not. He is not surprised by viruses. He's not surprised by voting, or he's not surprised by kings that come and go, or dictators who come and go. He's not surprised by any of that. But he raises one up and he puts one down. He is in charge of the universe, not me, not you, not us. He is. And we can have complete confidence at the right time, he is coming back. And that's because he arose from the dead first. Hallelujah. So let's take this cup and try and peel off that top layer. Last time I had so much trouble. I did it. I got it. I know, she was ready. I have such big stubby fingers. These are tiny things for me. All right. Remember, it was his broken body for us, right? For us, and by which we are with. We are healed. Amen. Let's eat together. Let's remember his shed blood, for this is a new covenant, a new way of living, living in the light. Hallelujah. May your fruit be plentiful in the light, and may the fruit of darkness dry up within you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's drink together.